I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. If you're a fan of Psych, then you already know that series star James Rodet is a huge fan of Twin Peaks. And you probably also know that he's wanted to have a Twin Peaks-centered episode since the first season. Well, tonight he gets his wish. Titled Dual Spires, the show features former Twin Peaks stars such as Sherilyn Fenn, Dana Ashbrook, Robin Lively, and Cheryl Lee. I talked to James and Cheryl Lee in a recent conference call where they were both raving about the episode. They talked about how they chose who would come back from Twin Peaks, why the series meant so much to both of them, and what it was like for Cheryl to reunite with her former co-stars.
Cheryl, I want to know, how did it feel when you walked on set and saw a lot of your castmates from Twin Peaks?
Well, I keep telling everyone, it was such an incredible gift that James and everyone that's a part of Psych gave us, because some of us hadn't seen each other from Twin Peaks in years and years. And it's such a wonderful group of people, and it's such a wonderful group of people at Psych as well, that it was truly, truly a gift to, it's hard to believe that 20 years have gone by, but to be able to see these people who have such a special place in my heart. It was really wonderful.
James, we know you're a huge Twin Peaks fan. So what was it like to work with the real Laura Palmer?
It was crazy. I was like, I think there are Twin Peaks, like, fanboys out there who actually go to sleep and dream about what I got to do. It was remarkable. And like Cheryl said, it was like three experiences in one. It was them getting to see each other for the first time after all these years, and us getting to watch them, and they were getting emotional, which made us emotional. And then, on top of everything, it was the closest. It was the closest I'll ever come to being an episode of my favorite show. So, it was ridiculous. Only in our line of work do we get to do things like this and call it work.
In addition to the Twin Peaks cast members, you also landed Julie Cruise to perform the Psych theme song. How did that come together?
Well, we were sort of swinging for the fences across the board with this episode, and luckily we've set precedent with, messing around with our theme song in previous episodes. So it was really easy to say let's go after Julie and hope that she wants to get in on the fun, and she did. And it's my favorite of the different renditions we've done of our theme song. It's pretty inspired. Props also goes to our composer, Adam Cohen, who we just come up with a Twin Peaks inspired, slowed down, synthesized version of our song. Thanks, bye. And he had to do that, and then Julie came in and just nailed the vocals. And we're all pretty stoked about the theme song.
James, it must be a little daunting to work with people you've worshipped for so long. How did you select the individuals that would participate in the Twin Peaks episode?
Well, a lot of it was the story that we came up with. Dana Ashbrook is a very close friend of mine that I've known for many, many, many years. So the sort of seed was, I wasn't going to give Dana a choice. He was going to have to be in no matter what. And then hopefully from there we could sort of spread the love and build an ensemble. I couldn't imagine doing a Twin Peaks tribute without Cheryl and without Sherilyn. I felt like those were sort of the two iconic faces that if we didn't have, we might as well not even try. So they were sort of always on the board as musts. You gotta have Laura, you gotta have Audrey. We were lucky enough to have cast Ray Wise last season, so it was just a matter of figuring out how to get his character involved in the action, which we did. And then it was sort of like, who do we match up for these characters? Lenny Von Dolan, I thought, was a really interesting way to go for the sheriff. and and Robin Lively kind of represented the second season of Twin Peaks all by herself. So, and then we had always sort of planned on a cameo from Catherine Coulson. So it all sort of, again, it was the planets really kind of aligned for us on this, and it came together really nicely.
How did you originally meet and become friends with Dana?
I moved from New York to L.A. to do a show on Fox that lasted for about 10 minutes. But inside that 10 minutes, I met Dana. He came on and did an episode, and I basically stalked him into becoming my friend. I'm not proud of it, but it was one of the boldest things I've ever done. I saw his name on the call sheet, and I went over and knocked on his trailer door, and I said, "Can I come in?" And he was like, "Yeah, I guess." And I just laid it all out. I laid it on the line, and luckily he didn't get scared. I think he was actually flattered. And a couple weeks later, he took me to the Playboy Mansion, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Cheryl, what was it like for you to, in the commercial we see that there is a dead body wrapped in plastic, a la your character Laura Palmer was. Was it sort of an out-of-body experience maybe to see someone positioned in the way that you had iconically been?
Yes, that is the perfect way to describe it. I actually did feel as if I was out of my body that whole day. It was a very strange, surreal feeling, mostly because, you know, it's hard to understand how that much time went by that quickly. And I remember that day for me as if it was yesterday. There's a lot of things in the past 20 years I don't remember, but that day, 20 years ago, laying on that beach in the freezing cold, I remember as if it was yesterday. And so it was very, very surreal. And it was more, it touched me deeper than I expected it to. It sort of snuck up on me.
So, Cheryl, a lot of people have told me over the years that the psych set is just really, really unique. It's just really fun that all of the cast members, the crew, that everyone's just very warm and inviting. Can you tell us a little bit more about the experience of working with the psych team?
Oh, well, it is a fantastic group of people. They are so blessed, and the wonderful thing about them is that they know how blessed they are to all get along so well and to have such beautiful respect for each other. And it's one of the happiest crews that I've ever seen. They have so much care and respect for their actors because of the way that their actors care for and respect them. And it's an absolute delight. It's a fun set. It's there's no hidden angst anywhere. It's just an absolute delight. I'm so grateful to have gotten to come, you know, play with them.
Jane, is that so? You must have been really young when Twin Peaks came on. How did you? It's 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there.
I was 13 and 14.
13 and 14. So, what was it about it that turned you on and it just made you obsessed with such a great show? I mean, a lot of people didn't get it, a lot of people did. what was it about it that got you?
Well, I was a strange, you know, dark little dude. I fell in love with horror movies at a very early age. And somehow, as a first grader, was able to convince my parents to let me go see, stuff like American Werewolf in London, like in theaters. So I sort of had I was headed in that direction anyway. And then I remember one night, I think my parents were out at a function of some kind, and I had just gotten cable in my room. It was a big deal. And I saw Blue Velvet on HBO, I think. And it blew my mind in a way that I don't think children's minds are supposed to be blown. They probably shouldn't be watching Blue Velvet. But from that moment on, I was, I was sort of obsessed with David Lynch. And then when he came to television, there was no way I wasn't going to watch. And then, of course, he delivered everything that you would expect David Lynch to deliver and more. And, you know, and to me, like, the great coup was that he was doing it in prime time on network television. And he just, even as a 14-year-old, I wanted someone in the room with me that I could look over and say, can you believe we're watching this? Like, can you believe that he's doing this? How is he doing this? You know, and I think it redefined television as short of a period of time as they were actually on the air. I think he's influenced television in a way that, you know, I mean, I don't know if we have stuff, you know, like Deadwood and, you know, and Boardwalk Empire, you know, if Twin Peaks had never happened. Like, I truly feel that way.
So this really was a dream come true for you.
Oh, absolutely. And it was 4 years in the making, so we actually had to kind of, like, be patient and plan. And, yeah, it was really gratifying.
And Cheryl, are you still surprised that people have these feelings for a show, as you said, 20 years later, that still love it as much as they did back when it first aired? And it continued. They even have more fans. Does that surprise you?
Well, you know, there's two things that happen, I think, when people experience something, whether it's a song or a television show or a film or a book, any piece of art, that they're experiencing it for what it is, but then it also connects them to a certain part of their life and whatever was going on at that time in their life. So, in that sense, no, it doesn't surprise me, because I know, for me, you know, I can be driving around and all of a sudden hear a song on the radio and boom, I'm back at that time in my life.
Yeah.
And so, the one thing that people tell me that they experienced so often with Twin Peaks was that it brought people together. That people were watching it together as a community and talking about it together at work. So I think when they think of the show, they're also remembering that sense of community that they shared this thing with.
What's the biggest, most memorable moment in filming this episode?
Well, for me, it's very easy, and I'm not just saying this because Cheryl is on the phone, but it was, you know, it was the moment, the precise moment that, you know, that Cheryl's character opens the plastic and reveals the dead girl. It, just the juxtaposition of Laura Palmer looking at Laura Palmer was kind of mind-blowing. A close second would be Cheryl's character talking about the girl later in her office. So that was it for me.
That's hard, because there were so many moments that I loved, and they were just different colors. You know, they were the moment on the beach James is speaking of was an emotional moment for me and a very surreal moment for me. But then there were other moments that were just so fun and delightful and giggly and challenging, and just to be with all of those people. The cast of Psych is such an incredible group of people, and then also all these people from Twin Peaks, just even being able to see them and work with them again and sit around on the set and have a coffee with them. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience all around.
Well, Cheryl, when did you realize that you wanted to become an actress? And
it was actually, I think it found me. I was in high school, and I had wanted to be a dancer or an artist, and I tore my knee up on a tobogganing accident in Colorado, and ended up on crutches for a while, and was getting very antsy because I wasn't dancing, and I was getting sort of ornery around the house, I think, and my mom said, why don't you try out for the school play? And I had always been painfully shy, and I said, absolutely not. I cannot speak in front of people. No way. And then my English teacher, one of my teachers at school, also said, why don't you try out for the play? And so I thought, all right, I'll just try. And I ended up getting it to play the mother in The Bad Seed.
And, okay. I will never forget the first day of rehearsals. Auditioning was excruciating for me, and it still is. But the first day of rehearsals, it was that moment where I went, oh, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do.
And how old were you?
15.
So you still have issues with shyness, or are you pretty much...
Oh, I definitely still have issues with shyness and auditioning.
Oh.
Cheryl, when you started up with Twin Peaks and Laura Palmer, what were your expectations? Were you like, wow, this stuff is really weird? Who's going to get this? Or did you have a feeling that it would make an impact?
You know, I had no expectations. At that time, I was living in Seattle, doing theater, wasn't thinking at all about moving back to L.A. or doing film or TV or anything. And I just got a call that David had seen my headshot in a local casting office up there and had thought that I was this dead girl in this thing that he was doing that was all very secretive. So I was originally hired for just a few days' worth of work as a corpse with a couple flashbacks and to, you know, to be wrapped in plastic and thrown on the beach. And then, so that was for the pilot, and which was shot up there in Washington. But then they all left and went back down to Los Angeles, and I stayed up in Washington and, you know, kept pursuing theater. And it wasn't until months later that David called and said, you know, would you like to come back on the show? And moved to L.A., and then that was, a, you know, then all of a sudden my life took a very different, quick turn. And I had no experience in TV and no experience with the entertainment industry down here, and so I had no expectations. I wish I'd had a handbook at the time to know how to get through through all that craziness, but I didn't. I was winging it.
Okay. And are there any challenges to playing a dead girl wrapped in plastic?
Yeah, for me it was, I mean, this is going to sound corny, but it really was an opportunity to sort of meditate on death. And I don't mean that in a morbid way, I mean that in an absolute way. And, you know, I had studied a little bit of meditation at that time and knew that there was a possibility of sort of slowing the body down and slowing the breath down and slowing the mind down. And so, for me, that was what all those scenes were about, was an exercise in that and an exploration of that. And also just being able, it was such a great opportunity because I had not been on a set before. And so to be able to just be on a set as a sponge and get to soak all of that up was an incredible learning experience.
James, we know you had really high expectations for the Twin Peaks episode. So after 4 years in the making, how well do you feel it lived up to expectations?
I was really, 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 really pleased. I mean, the only thing I wish I could do was, you know, was there's about, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes worth of this episode that you won't be able to see unless you buy the season 5 DVD. Other than that, I was pretty tickled. I mean, we got the right director, and I really struggled with, you know, with the idea of not directing this episode because I knew I was going to be micromanaging and you know, could I possibly hand it off to somebody else? But Matt Shackman, as it turns out, is every bit the Twin Peaks fanboy that I am. He even took it one step further by purchasing the secret Laura Palmer diary that Jennifer Lynch wrote, and I believe he still has it in his possession. So as soon as he told me that, I knew we were going to be fine. And again, you know, except for the fact that it just there was too much good stuff. And because we wanted it to breathe and kind of feel pacing-wise like a Twin Peaks episode, we just couldn't keep it all in. Other than that, I love it.
James, can you tell me what you love most about playing Sean?
You know, I guess the fact that the character really lends itself to, you know, improvising and and changing, you know, within the context of, you know, you've got to be the same guy each week.
Right.
I think the fun of the character is that no matter, you know, what they throw at us or what the world is or what the case is, you know, he never really has a plan. And it's always sort of jump first, ask questions later. And that's a fun character to play because most of us are not like that in life because we can't afford to be because there are consequences and ramifications. And in the real world, it doesn't always go your way like it can on a television show.
Thanks, James and Cheryl, and thank you guys for listening. Hey, this site is a lot of work, so please support our advertisers. They keep us up and running. And remember to keep coming back to dailyactor.com for more great interviews, news, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.